So much of American Christianity is focused on the self. You guys realize that Christianity is not an American thing, right? You guys understand that, that it's actually a worldwide thing? And in American Christianity, so much of what we focus on is what can I do? What is it, you know, for me? I need to come to church to hear a message about what I can get, you know, how I can deal with temptation, how I can have healing, how I can, and all those things are good. There's no problem with that. But so much of the Bible shows that our faith needs to be practiced in community, that it's a community thing. So much of our faith was intended to be practiced in the context of community. And guys, so this series is not going to be so much about getting maybe sin out of your life or having healing. It is talking about how do we as a church live out collective faith. You guys, in March 2008, we started. We've only been around about 2.5 years. And we started this thing. We wanted to be a different kind of church. We didn't want to just be, another cookie cutter church in the community. We wanted to be a little bit different. We wanted to reach people that no other church is reaching by doing things that no one else is doing. And so, you guys, I wanted to, looking back at that, I want to make sure that we're still on track of what we're doing. I want to tell you guys what we're not here for. Sunday morning, what we're not here for. First of all, we're not here to feel comfortable, okay? I was told in seminary that good pastors comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, okay? And so if you're not being challenged here, if you are feeling comfortable, there's probably something very wrong. If you've seen no growth in your life, if you've seen no change in your life, there's probably something wrong. Now, some of you guys are dealing with major, major life circumstances, and basically you're on life support, and that I'm glad you're here that we can be a comfort for you. But those of you that are not in those situations, if you're comfortable, there's probably something wrong. Jesus never said that the church would be a place of comfort. He never said that following him would make you comfortable. Matter of fact, he said it would make you scared beyond imagine. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Second thing we're not here for, we're not here to pat ourselves on the back. Now, guys, this is of all the churches I've ever been a part of, this is my favorite. It really is. I love being here with you guys. I love this church. I love the spirit. I love the culture. I love everything that we do here. But, guys, we can't be in the business of patting ourselves on the back and getting narcissistic and saying, look how good we are. Because that's exactly how the Pharisees in Jesus' time dealt with. That's what happened to them. They got so consumed with pride, they thought that they had the only way. They were the only ones doing things right, and it led to not even being able to recognize Jesus when he was among their midst. The third thing we're not here for, we're not here to continue propagating tradition. All right? There may come a day when our style of worship is no longer relevant. There may come a day when doing children's ministry out there is irrelevant. It may come a day when doing youth ministry or anything that we do is out. It's just not relevant anymore. For example, for the past three summers in 2008, 2009, 2010, we've been doing a series of 10-minute sermons. And I've heard from a lot of you guys, over half of you guys, that you're like, that's all right, but I'm really looking forward to getting back to the way things were. And 3 years ago, our church was at a place where 10-minute sermons really hit the heart. You guys, I guess as a church, we've matured where that's not enough, where you guys want more. I've heard from so many people. And so we're not going to be doing 10-minute sermons summers anymore. We're going to be doing normal church because that's what you guys, that's where the heart of you guys is. See, we're not locked into any tradition. We'll do something that works as long as it's no longer relevant. We won't do it. Number four, we're not here to be a business. Businesses have strategic goals and mission statements and big budgets and big spending, and we cannot get consumed in all of that and lose sight of who we're supposed to reach and who we're supposed to be. We're not here to be a business. We're here to be a church. It's a big difference. And number five, this will sound really strange, we're not here to increase numbers. Okay, you say, whoa, Dave, doesn't God want, you know, more people to come to know him? Absolutely, but we're not here to increase numbers. Guys, I'm not interested in being pastor of a church of 1,000 people where only 10 are following Jesus. I'm not interested in that, okay? I'd rather be a pastor of a church of 10 where all 10 were following Jesus than a church of 1,000 where only 10 were following Jesus. You guys, Rodney Salee, who preaches up here quite a bit, gives me a hard time a lot of times about my lack of vision. You know, we were talking about going to 2 services, said, well, we should be going to 5 services. We should be having, you know, and that's fantastic. But guys, everybody knows that as an adult, there are 2 ways for me to grow physically, okay? One, I could eat an awful lot of food and get fat. Another way to go is I could go to the gym and I could work out and I could build muscle. okay? Now, I would be deceiving myself if I was eating a bunch of food and getting bigger and getting fatter and saying that I'm getting stronger. It's not real growth. It's the bad kind of growth. So there's a good type of growth and there's a bad type of growth. You guys, we aren't called to increase numbers. We're called to increase disciples. Big difference between a number and a disciple. Check it out. A number attends church. Maybe they really like it. But a disciple is the church. A disciple not only comes to the church building, but a disciple is someone who lives out what it means to be part of the church wherever they are, in their home, in their business. That's what a disciple does. A number believes in Jesus. They have no problem whatsoever with the fact that 2,000 years ago, there was a guy named Jesus who walked around and he taught us how to live and how to love, and he went to a cross and he died for our sins. No problem with that. But a disciple follows Jesus. A disciple is someone who looks at his or her life and says, Jesus, what would you do if you had my life, my resources, my time, my family? How would you treat my wife? If you were married to my wife, how would you treat my husband? If you were married to my husband, how would you treat these kids? If you had $100, would you spend it the way that I would spend $100? Jesus, if you had my friends, would you hang out with these people? That's what a disciple does, follows Jesus. A number may give money to the church, but the disciple invests in the kingdom. A disciple says, my entire life, Lord, all my resources devoted to one purpose, your kingdom, the building of your kingdom. It's an investment. A number will follow Jesus until they get uncomfortable, and then they bug out. A disciple follows when comfortable. As a matter of fact, they see following into uncomfortable waters as essential to the Christian life. And a number isn't concerned with bringing others to Christ, to faith. They're not concerned with it at all because, after all, church is for me. I come here. I expect to get fed. I expect to take advantage of all the church programs, and the church is for me. But a disciple sees bringing other people to Christ as essential to the Christian life, as natural as a child growing. Okay? Guys, the word disciple occurs 269 times in the New Testament. The word Christian appears 3 times. Okay? And that was meant, the word Christian was meant to refer to disciples in a derogatory term. The word Christian basically does not even appear in early church terminology. They referred to themselves as disciples because they were following Jesus. And guys, the reason we have to get this so crystal clear is I truly believe that God is prepping catalysts for a huge season of growth. Huge season of growth. I truly believe that from the bottom of my heart. And we need to make sure that we're going to have the right kind of growth, that we're going to actually make disciples and not have just a bunch of numbers filling the pews, because at the end, it doesn't matter. We need disciples, all right? And this is the call. We've been given a call. Matthew 8:28-20 says this, the call to increase disciples. Jesus says this, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Now, 2 weeks ago, I told a story about Francis Chan, who's a pastor, and he told his daughter, I want you to go clean your room. And an hour later, the daughter came back, and Francis Chan said, did you clean your room? And the daughter said, no, I didn't. But, I memorized what you said. And not only that, but I can even say it in Hebrew. And not only that, but I called 5 of my friends whose dads told them to clean their rooms. And we're going to get together once a week for an hour. And we're going to study what it would look like if we cleaned our rooms. And we're going to study all the people around who are actually doing what their father said. That's what we're going to do. Aren't you happy, Dad? Well, Francis Chan said, well, that's not what I asked you to do. I didn't tell you to get in a group and study the fact that I told you to clean your room. I didn't tell you to memorize. I told you to go clean your room. And Jesus has given us this command, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And how are you doing? How are we doing? How are we doing? Are we making disciples? Are we being obedient to Jesus? Or are we like that daughter that's memorizing it, thinking about it, studying it, but not doing it? You guys, check this out. This is from Acts 6:1-7. We've been called to make disciples. Check this out. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing. Whoa, stop right there. Notice they didn't say they were packing in 5,000 people. They didn't say that. They didn't say we're drawing huge crowds through huge events. No, that's not what they said. The number of disciples was increasing. The Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Okay? Early church problem. So the 12, that's 12 disciples, gathered all the disciples together and said it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from you, among you, who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word. Verse 5, this proposal pleased the whole group. All right, check this out. They said, we want you guys to distribute food. It wasn't the professional clergy. They were people sitting out in the pews, in the seats. They didn't have professional titles. They didn't have seminary educations. They were simply people that were in love with Jesus. And they said, we want you to distribute food. That's it. All you do, hand out food. Can you do it? And they said, yes. And verse 7, check this out. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Whoa, wait a second. Because lay people were handing out food, disciples were increasing? Yeah. Yeah. You know, guys, maybe bringing people to Christ is not as difficult as we've made it out to be. Maybe these people saw something so profound and so amazing in this Christian community that they said, I want a piece of that. I want to be like that. Maybe they saw something so potent within these people and the love that they showed that they wanted to be disciples of Jesus. Maybe that's what happened, all right? They were handing out food. How hard is that? And it said, because of that, people became disciples. You guys, historian R.W. Sproul, you know, you're big deal if you go by your first initials, okay? Church historian says this about the early church. Christianity, once established, was its own best missionary. It grew naturally from within. It attracted people by its very presence. It was a light shining in the darkness and illuminating the darkness. And while there were no professional missionaries, no clergy, no degrees, no paid positions whatsoever, devoting their whole life to this specific work, every congregation was a missionary society. And every Christian believer was a missionary, inflamed by the love of Christ to convert his fellow man. Now, let's stop for a second. Could that be said about Catalyst Christian Church? Would people say that about us? Because I would love for them to be able to say that about us. Roman historian Celsus scoffingly remarks that the sellers and workers of wool and leather, that they were rustic and ignorant persons, were the most zealous evangelists of Christianity. And it brought it first to women and children. Women and slaves introduced it into the home. Every Christian told his neighbor, the laborer to his fellow laborer, the slave to his fellow slave, the servant to his master, the story of his conversion, like a sailor told the story of his rescue from a shipwreck. Wow. That's why disciples were increasing. And maybe that's one of the reasons why disciples are so few and far between in the church today. Because we are wanting big events and the preacher and everything to draw people into the church. But how were disciples won in the old times? They were won one-on-one by people sharing what Jesus had done for them. Plain and simple. Guys, one of the other reasons why we need to understand this, that we have been called to increase disciples, is because God wants this place to be full. Did you know that? Not me. I'm not into it for the ego. I'm not into it for to say that we have this many people. God wants this place to be full. Check this out. Luke 14, 16 through 24. Jesus tells a parable, one of my favorite parables in the world. Check it out. A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field, and I must go see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry. He got angry. These people didn't want to come into his and party with him. And ordered his servant, go out into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there's still room. Then the master told his servant, go into the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. And nothing's changed. We have been called as a church to reach people in a culture that says it's too busy for God. That's our call. God has sent us, you and me, into the American culture that where people are saying, I can't do that. I just got a new job. Can't do it. I've got sports to play. I've got to sleep in a sports center on Sunday morning. We have been called to reach people in a culture that says it's too busy for God. Okay? How is that going to happen? God's going to build his church with people that are willing to come in. People are, you notice that he did not go and invite those people a second time. People said they're too busy. He said, no, I will go to someone else who is not too busy. So guys, that is what we have been called to do. So if I asked you to define the church, how would you define it? What would you say if someone said in 10 words or less, what's a church? You say maybe it's a place I go to on Sundays? Is it the people? You know, here's a church, here's a steeple, open up, here's the people. I mean, would you do that? Well, guys, I want us to define the church like this. A family expecting guests. Say that with me. Church is a family expecting guests. Now, if you guys were coming over to my house for the first time, let me tell you what would probably happen. All right? About 30 minutes before you guys got there, I would have laid around all afternoon, but 30 minutes before you got there, I'd have done the mad dash through the house, all right? I would empty every waste paper can. I would vacuum. My wife would argue with that. I'd put away the dishes. I would try at least the areas the guests would be in. I'd try to keep them clean and everything like that. And when you got there, I would shake your hand. I would say, hello, I'm so welcome to my home. I'm so glad you're here. Let's eat together. We'd have stuff to do, everything. I would be ready for the guests, okay? That would be, you know, that's what you would do if you came over to my house, okay? Now, if the church is a family expecting guests, and remember, God wants his house to be full. We've been called to make disciples. Are we a family expecting guests? Let me ask you, I want to do a survey. I've done this before, but we've got a lot of new people, and I want to know, how many of you guys, if you are a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, how many of you came to Christ because you were watching TV and you saw a TV evangelist and you heard the gospel message and you maybe knelt down in your living room and you prayed and you became a Christian? How many of you guys, that's how you became a Christian? Nobody, okay? How many of you guys came to Christ because of a Christian concert? Maybe you went to see the Newsboys or you went to see Toby Mac, or, you know, maybe it was a long time ago, maybe it was Striper, you know? How many of you guys, because of a Christian concert, you became a Christian? Nobody. Okay. How many of you guys, because of Christian radio, because of K-Love or Air One or something like that, you were listening and they were praying or they presented the gospel message or you heard something and you became a Christian because of that? How many of you got... Nobody. Well, billions of dollars of investment are not paying off, are they? How many of you guys, because of a sermon in church, you came into a church and you heard the gospel message and the Holy Spirit convicted you and you became a Christian because of a sermon in church? Two or three. Okay, not bad. All right. Now, how many of you became a follower of Christ because a Christian that you knew loved you, sat down with you, welcomed you into the Christian community, and you became a Christian after kind of swimming around in the Christian faith for a while because of love, because of acceptance of the community? How many of you guys that would describe you? Okay. The church at its best. Listen to 1 Peter 4, 8 through 10. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one of you should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. You guys see verse 9. Offer hospitality to another without grumbling. Let's apply that to the church. There's a difference between entertainment and hospitality. Here's what entertainment is. Come to my church. We've got a great band. Our preacher doesn't make too many mistakes. We've got a great building, and we've got great programs for you. That's what entertainment is. Hospitality says this. We believe that our church is a gift from God, and we want to share it with you, and we want you to be a part of it. You see the difference? Entertainment says, look at all the stuff that we have here. And hospitality says, we believe this church is a gift from God, and we want you to be a part of it. We want to share it with you. Eric Little from Chariots of Fire, the guy from Chariots of Fire, the 400-meter Olympic gold medalist that refused to run on Sunday he said this, we're all missionaries. Wherever we go, we either bring people nearer to Christ or we repel them from Christ. So this morning, you guys, everything you've done has either brought someone nearer to Christ or has repelled them from Christ. The way that you drove today, the way you walked into this building, maybe the people you said hi to or the people you ignored, either brought people to Christ, closer to Christ, or repelled them from Christ. Do you guys realize that? And so many of us think that we've never won anyone to Christ. But have you ever made someone feel welcome at church? Have you ever smiled at someone when they got here? You ever shook a hand? Have you ever said, hey, come sit next to me? Well, guys, let me tell you the demeanor of somebody coming to Catalyst Christian Church. Say an unchurched person, non-Christian person. This may be the way some of you guys are, but let's just back up. Back up before people get here. During the week, guy's been at work all day long, and he's got a Christian coworker that has been bugging the snot out of him to go to church, okay? And he's asked week after week after week, and the guy says, okay, finally, I'll go just to get this guy off of my back. Either that or maybe his mom's calling him. Have you been to church this month? You know, something like that is going on. So maybe they're out late Saturday night, they're at the bar, or they're hanging out, and we know what time you get in on Saturday because you're on Facebook and your last post is at 3 a.m., okay? We know how out late you were, so it's no big secret. So we wake up at 10 minutes till 11, okay? You roll out of bed, you're like, oh, man, if I miss church, I will never hear the end of it, okay? I've got it. So you throw on some clothes, maybe you brush some teeth, and maybe you brush your teeth, and some of you guys I'm not worried about. And then you get here, and on the way here, you're almost run off the road by somebody who's texting, you know, or whatever, and probably someone from Catalyst, the way that some of you guys drive. And then you pull in here, and you're in no mood whatsoever to worship, and no mood whatsoever to hear a sermon, and no mood whatsoever to experience Christ. And that's what the carrion would come in. Maybe that describes some of you guys. Well, guys, I've been in that situation. Back in 2007, when we were getting ready to plant Catalyst, our leadership team, we went to all a bunch of different church plants in various cities and everything, and I went to a church plant somewhere. I'm not going to say where, because you may go there sometime. But I walk in, I check out the website, said service starts at 10 o'clock. It was in a movie theater. So I go over to the movie theater, and I show up at 10 till 10. Well, the time was wrong. It actually started at 10:30, so I had 40 minutes to hang out and everything before the service started, all right? So I walk in, and there's a bunch of people. They're in little groups all around the lobby area. It's a movie theater. And so no one says anything. So I stand there, and I said, you know what? I'm going to make it as obvious as I can that I'm a visitor here. So I go up to the table that says visitor, all right? So I'm standing there, and I'm looking, and I'm thumbing through some material that I thought maybe a visitor would look and everything, and no one says a word, okay? So after about 2 or 3 minutes of non-success there, I walk over to the coffee bar. That's the refreshment stand they set up as a coffee bar. So I walk over there, and there's a group of people standing behind there talking. They're in the little group. They're having a good time. They're laughing and everything, and I stand there for a good 2 minutes. And I stand there, and so I finally say that, and a guy turns his head like this. He doesn't do this. He does this. And I say, is this stuff free? I mean, that really should clue him in that I'm a visitor. I don't know anything about this place. And he goes like this. He goes, yeah. Turns back around. So I'm like, all right. So I fix myself some coffee. And I stand there, and they're still talking. I kind of felt like Clay in that video. And so I wander over here, and I see a group of people down there that look like they're having a good time. And so I kind of migrate over that way. And I'm about to say hi, and I get the H syllable out of my mouth. I go like this, and all of a sudden they drop their heads and they pray. And it was a children's ministry. I felt as out of place there as any person. I'd been there 5 minutes, and I wanted to leave. I hadn't heard a word of the sermon. I hadn't heard a note from the band. I hadn't experienced anything this church had to offer, and I was ready to leave because everything that I picked up in those first 5 minutes said, we don't want you here. And guys, I want to tell you, in that first 5 minutes, I formed a lens through which I viewed everything in that church, every word out of the pastor's mouth. I'm sure it was a great sermon, but I said, hypocrite. Because his church sure doesn't live the stuff that he's talking about up there. Every note sung by the band and by the people around me, I said, hypocrite. Because they're praising Jesus, yet they ignored me. They don't want me here. Guys, in the first 5 minutes, I decided I was never, ever going back to that place. And now I wonder, in the last 2.5 years, how many people have listened to me preach and said, hypocrite, because they were not welcomed here. I wonder how many people have come into these doors and felt unwelcomed, like they are not valued, and they have missed an opportunity to worship and to be part of this church because they had already decided before I even started speaking, before JK played a note, because of the way they were treated in the first 5 minutes. Guys, the other side, though, take this out. There was a missionary family named the Goforths. Cool missionary name, all right? Rosalind Goforth was the wife. And they went to China. They're from England. And they didn't speak the language. They didn't know anybody there. But they knew that people in China really, really thought European stuff was cool. Okay? They had their house decked out with European stuff. And so what they started doing, they said, for 3 hours a day, we're going to open our house, and we're just going to give tours so the Chinese people can see our stuff. Okay? This was back in the early 1900s. And one Sunday afternoon, they had 2,000 Chinese people come and see their stuff. They just led tours through the house, and they let the Chinese people see their home and see their stuff. Rosalind says this. They did that for about 6 months. And they says this, some may think that receiving visitors is not real mission work, but I think it is. I put myself out to make friends with the people, and I reap the results when I go to their villages to preach. Listen to this. Often the people of the village will gather around me and say, we were at your place, and you showed us through your house, and you treated us like friends. Then they almost always bring me a chair to sit on and a table to lay my Bible on, and some tea. According to missionary historian Ruth Tucker, it was this type of evangelism that paved the way for the Goforth's future ministry, the most successful missionaries ever in the history of China. Because they opened their home and they treated people with dignity and respect. You guys, people very rarely come to Christ because they come into a church and they hear a sermon and they fall over convicted and become Christians. More often than that, people need to come to a place and feel welcomed, feel loved, and then to come back, and then to come back, and to meet Christian friends and be accepted into the community and take on Christianity. Christianity is way more often caught than it is taught. And if we are supposed to make disciples, the best thing we can do in this church is offer true hospitality. True hospitality, so that people will know without a doubt that they're loved. You guys, maybe the next step in your life, in your walk with Christ, isn't something that you need to improve on personally. Maybe the next step in your walk with Christ is to engage, be part of the body in making disciples by making this place a family expecting guests.